You are listening to Single Smart Female, Romantic Fairy Godmama Edition. Today's show is sponsored by TheCourageKit.com. Are you tired of meeting craptastic men, going on craptastic dates, and feeling craptastically inept at dating and love? Let me rework your dating experiences, single lady. Fun, pleasure, and magic included. No experience required. I'll see you at TheCourageKit.com. Welcome, welcome, single smart females. Jen Burton here, romantic fairy godmama to smart, successful single women all around the world. Today, I bring you a very special co-host who has blessed us with her presence before, Miss Tina Dietz. Miss Tina Dietz and I are talking about understanding how your voice affects and influences men. This will be an intriguing topic today. I promise you that. So listen carefully. Hi, Tina, by the way.
Hi. I felt like I should insert some sort of like,
yes, that works really well. You can do that again. I like that. That turns me on a little, just so you know. Okay. We have quite a few things that we'd like to discuss today. Mainly, I'm going to lean into Tina for this because she is the vocal expert. And I want her to help you understand how what's going on with what you say and your voice and how it is affecting men. And it does influence men as well. We always think about the effect, but truthfully, I know from all the work I've done, there's quite a bit of influence. We are one of the most powerful influence in a man's life. So I like to use this with responsibility and have some fun with it.
Yeah, I think it's really important to keep the playfulness in it because otherwise it just becomes one more friggin' thing to do on our endless friggin' to-do list.
So where would you like to start today, Tina? I know you wanted to talk about a couple of different things. Do you want to start with the triggers? Do you want to start with the vocal qualities?
Let's start with some triggers.
Okay.
Let's start with some triggers because you and I had a really interesting conversation about this. And I found out some years ago that there are certain phrases that men have some conditioned responses to.
Yes.
Many, many, many times. Most of the time. And one of them that we use all the time are something along the lines of, honey, we need to talk.
You gave me chills, which is a response.
Yeah. Or, you know, hey, let's talk later. Or at almost any version of that, depending on the man you're dealing with, can have a response with them physiologically. They mm-hmm. have a cortisol dump. Men have a much lower threshold for stress response than women do. Yes, it is biological. And when you're going through your day and you're handling all kinds of stress and you're juggling it and you're juggling it and you're just moving through it all. And then you see a man who's like one thing and it derails him for the rest of the day. And you're like, what the hell, dude?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Why is it such a big deal that
why
I want to talk
such
to
a
you?
Big, you know, why is this such a big deal? Or why can't you handle one thing going off in your day, whereas I'm handling 18 things? Many times it's this physiological response that they have what's called a cortisol dump, which makes them feel as though they need to fight or flight.
Mm-hmm.
And also causes a lot of other physiological responses like brain fog in men or nausea or just really wanting a heavy protection. They want to protect themselves.
And they shut down. They shut down, which is why you're getting the response that you're getting when you say something like that.
Exactly.
Can you tell what's behind that?
Well, most of it is evolutionary. It is because of the difference in roles for millennia of men and women up until modern times. And when a man has to keep strong focus and he needs to actually be able to wake up at a moment's notice in order to respond quickly to a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're not dealing with biology that is adapted for our current circumstances. We're dealing with biology that is adapted for tens of thousands of years of hunter-gatherer or nomadic living. And that is what gets really, really funky when we're dealing with brain wiring and brain chemistry and we're talking about living as we are now, which is really relatively new in human history.
I definitely agree with you on the genetic historical component of all this, but I also see that our culture is influencing it as well. You see it in movies. You see that response all the time. When a based on what that means when a woman says it, because there's never a we need to talk and it's, oh, we're going to have a great conversation.
That's a very good point.
It's going to be a lot of fun. So I told you before that Will doesn't have that response. My husband doesn't have that response. And I think it's due to a couple of different factors. And I honestly think that, yes, we can just use another phrase at times. That would be very helpful. What would you suggest? I'm curious.
I think it depends on the relationship. We fall into vocal patterns. I didn't even realize how many times that I was saying the same thing over and over in voicemails until I had a bunch of voicemails recorded and I played them back to back. And I literally sounded exactly the same mm-hmm. in every single message I was leaving. We have tons and tons of unconscious or semi-conscious vocal patterns that we use. And so we condition our partners to react a certain way. And that gets really interesting, particularly if you are in a relationship with someone who is coming out of another relationship or coming out of a childhood, you know, a family situation where they've already been conditioned to certain phrases or certain triggers. And you won't necessarily know that until something happens in the relationship.
I really agree with you on that. And so I think it's important that we as women, instead of, okay, so a lot of women will try to fix that, which is what we do. They want to make sure she acts like nothing like his ex, things like that. But that becomes very tedious in itself, and it becomes all about him. I think there are small tweaks that we can make to help to, if we acknowledge it, I think is a good thing, because, you know, all of us come to relationships with baggage, no matter how we spin it. We True. All do. And if we understand it, but not necessarily tiptoe around it and walk on eggshells, because I don't think that helps anything. And it makes women specifically end up feeling responsible for everything. I think there's some stuff we can do. So I'm going to just talk about a couple of things. And Tina, I have a feeling he's not going to agree with everything I say on this.
I hope not.
But I want to go ahead and put them out there. Some of the things that Will and I did. Now, one of the things that we started off with when we were dating is, I didn't, unlike with my ex-husband, who was he hated that phrase. I had personally trained him to hate that phrase based on when we need to talk always meant it was a bad conversation. It always meant that I was upset with him or pissed off at him about something. With my current husband, on the other hand, while we were dating, first off, I didn't go into the dating phase unloading on him all the time. With doing mantourage dating, I focused my attention on the men who were treating me the way that I wanted to be treated. So that meant I had something else to look forward to if he wasn't acting in a way that was really good for me. Now, the other thing I did was, instead of telling him all of my feelings at the beginning, I let him get curious about what my feelings were. And when he asked me about them, then I had a receptive place. I had a place where I could be heard because he was intrigued.
Can I ask you a question about that?
Yes, absolutely.
How do you make a man curious about what you're feeling?
When you're not offering it all the time. Women naturally offer their feelings. And when you take a step back from that and let him have to think about it, for instance, I had one incident where I really needed him. But I also didn't really want to explain why I needed him. I needed him to come hold me. I'd never asked him for anything like this. And I needed him to come hold me because my ex-husband and I had gotten in a gigantic fight that day about something. And I knew that explaining all of that to him, I wasn't comfortable with it, but normally I would have told him anyways. But I decided, you know what? I'm not even going to let him know why. I'm just going to tell him what I need. And so I sent him a message saying, I can think of nothing better than after the day that I've had than feeling your arms wrapped around me. And this is a man that at the time we'd had some great dates together, but he hadn't gone out of his way for me at all. And he certainly never showed up at my place. Within 15 minutes, he'd already canceled a date on me, mind you, earlier that day. Within 15 minutes, he showed up at my place to just hold me. And it was driving him nuts that whole time trying to figure out why he needed to be holding me.
You're so freaking brilliant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But, and ladies, we're changing, instead of saying but all the time, we're going to and. And that's something I got from a good friend of ours that is really brilliant. And it created a space for him to be truly curious about how, what was going on in my head. When we're not, and I used to do this, ladies, when we're not vomiting our feelings all over men all the time. I'm not talking about never saying what you feel, just let me make that distinction. But giving him a space to be truly curious, he will get curious. He will want to know. And as soon as he starts asking, you've got this receptive place. So I allowed that to unflow more. And then this man who never told me his feelings, in fact, I've said this on Single Smart Female, he actually told me at one point, I asked him, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? He goes, I only do hungry, sleepy, and angry. Those were his three feelings that he told me. And I didn't say, oh, that's horrible. How dare you? I know you feel everything else, and tried to analyze it. Eventually, this man was telling me everything that was going on in his day, how he felt. And then every once in a while, I would insert a word that would help him verbalize it better. And mm-hmm. he just kept opening up to the point I had to ask him to stop. If you can believe that.
What have you done?
I know. I unleashed the monster. At the same time, I also would vary what I never really said we need to talk. I'd always say, hey, are you available to talk? Or can we talk tonight? I never did it by text messaging, because this is just a personal thing. I don't like doing all the crappy work by text, because I don't want him, when he opens, I don't want to condition him to thinking that we're about to have an argument via text. Texting for me is something special. If we're going to, and he's started a fight with me via text before, and I've actually told him, I'm not fighting with you via text. And just these just little different places that we can use these tips or tricks that have helped me significantly. And it actually helps me engage with other men as well. They're very interested in what we have to say. But you have to let them turn that trigger on. And from what I've seen, when they turn it on, then they can hear you. If they haven't turned it on yet and you hit them with the, we need to talk, game over.
It's game over. Got it.
Okay, so what are the other phrases? I know there are a few.
Oh, geez.
I know one that specifically comes to me. I don't know if we talk about this a lot, and I don't know if it's on your list, but talking about him being too busy can be a trigger, because there are a lot of men that are handling a lot of things, and men don't ever multitask very well. Women don't either, but we like to think we do.
Yes, we make it look good.
We make it look good. We're just actually just switching back and forth very quickly.
Yes, pretty much.
And there's a whole nother conversation there for us women. But something about being busy, or when a man hasn't contacted you, and then all of a sudden you hear from him, sometimes that can be a trigger for certain men, because their exes have come down on them really hard for being really busy.
Yeah. So, and something like, it never feels like you have any time for me.
Yes, exactly. Things like that. And you can definitely change the dynamic of that. And if you don't know how to do it right away, just avoid the phrase for now. But you can help him change what that means. I personally believe that. I know we might be genetically wired, but I've just seen, we as women, we can start conditioning ourselves and having more playful conversations, and men start to step in that space. You and I were at a conference one time, and one of the men in the room, because we were having so much fun, all of a sudden was over there, and he wanted to know everything we were talking about, everything we were doing. He wanted to spend time with us just because we were having such a fun time.
Exactly. Yeah, they were really drawn to that immediately. Yeah, I also think that if we withhold, on the flip side of them being curious about emotion, if we withhold and say, I'm fine.
Yes, that's good. That's really good.
That's one that we can have some issues with, because when we say we're fine, it's not that we're not fine. It's that we're not being articulate about the space we're actually in. So can we strike a happy medium between oversharing and I'm fine, which is kind of a cutoff phrase?
That's a genius point, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm fine is not acknowledging where you're at, but maybe it's more, I'm not comfortable talking about it right now. I
I think I would like to say something to you about it, yet I'm not comfortable right in this moment. Can we talk about it later?
Exactly. Exactly. And letting them know that it's not necessarily you're gathering ammo to unload on them, but more that, you know, I really want to be clear on what's kind of got me right now. And so I just want to be responsible for that communication. And can we talk about that a little bit later?
And you're going to be very impressed by how many men are really responsive to it. And I'm not saying every man, but lots mm-hmm. of men are a lot more responsive to that kind of approach versus being told, I'm fine is a trigger. You're right. That's huge because that's, yeah, sure, I'm fine. You've done something fucking wrong. You haven't figured it out. So you're an asshole for not figuring it out, not knowing exactly what you did. And at some point, I'm going to lose my shit on you.
Exactly. Ooh, I got another one.
Ooh, tell me.
Yeah, when he says, what's wrong? And you say, nothing. Yeah. You know what? You know what would be a great response for that? My husband actually gave me this response.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, when you say nothing, I just, it turns over and over and over in my head. And he goes, I know it's not nothing. So what he asked me to do was to ask him what he saw that prompted him to ask me what's wrong.
Say that one more time.
So basically, the exchange goes like this. He would say, what's wrong? And I'll say, what made you ask me that right now?
Okay.
So it's getting into what prompted him to actually say what's wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it could just be that my face is doing a thing because I'm thinking about something. I have a very mobile face.
Your face does things.
My face does things.
I like many of the things your face does, but sometimes it can be a little disconcerting.
I know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have that stare. We were talking earlier that instead of having resting bitch face, I have resting judge face.
Yes.
And I look like I'm just judging you. And sometimes I am. And to be 100% responsible about that, sometimes I am.
Uh-huh. You should have seen her judge face when I was doing the English muffins. That was amusing.
Does your audience know that you're a little bit slow to wake up in the morning?
No, I have not told. Okay. I've not disclosed that.
We'll disclose that. She's a little slow to wake up in the morning, and I tend to be a little bit more on the happy puppy hypervigilant side of things. So she was cutting or attempting to cut a frozen English muffin, and I had some concerns for her safety. So
with a butter knife. She had lots of concerns for my safety with
a
butter knife.
So I was looking at her in such a way that internally, I was like, is she going to be okay? She doesn't not seem like she's all there. Maybe she shouldn't be cutting things.
I wasn't all there.
Yeah. And she looked at me and I don't remember what you said to me, but it was something about stop looking at me that way.
I was like, you can keep looking, but I'm going to keep doing this.
But it was a good lesson for me because I realized that that face is not a new face for me. And now I can actually be more aware of that in my other interactions with people. So yes, the gift of resting judge face.
Resting
Jen
judge
has given me this awareness.
and she has given me this awareness, and I know I have resting judge face too. So it's something we're taking into consideration. I'm just going to give people random weird ass. I'm going to make weird ass faces, not just so that I can break the whole judge face.
Yeah, exactly. So going back to the interaction, giving him space to articulate what prompted him to ask me what's wrong allows me then to respond with whatever's there. Because it might be this, was my face doing a thing because I was just thinking about something from work or whatever. And so that it isn't confrontational in any way, shape, or form. It becomes more that curiosity. Curiosity is probably one of my favorite emotions on the planet.
Yeah, curiosity is amazing. And also, this technique gives you permission to stop stuffing your feelings down, even if you're not quite sure what they are, and gives him the opportunity to show genuine interest in you instead of everybody. We all hear that men don't care what you think and feel. It couldn't be further from the truth. What happens a lot of times is because we aren't prepared to tell them how we feel. We don't have the words around it. We think that we can't. We start stuffing things over the years, and he's being conditioned to know that at some point this blow up is going to happen because it's inevitable. That blow up is absolutely, it may take 20 years, but you are going to lose your shit at some point, and it's going to come out all over him. So he starts shutting down too. we are very powerful in a man's life. We're not responsible for everything, but we're very powerful. So be very considerate of the different responses that you are giving. You do not have to hide everything. There are lots of different ways that you can use your communication to lift both of you up.
Yeah, I could not have said it better. I'm just sitting here staring at you going, yes, Jack. Yes, preach it, girl.
With that said, do you want to move into the different vocal?
Oh, yeah. We can talk about some different vocal qualities that impact how we're perceived by other people.
Can we include tone in that?
We can definitely include tone in that. I know for myself, I actually don't know if I've ever met a woman. I don't know if I've had these conversations with men, so I'm not sure how they experience it. But I don't think I've ever met a woman who hasn't had the experience of having their tone misinterpreted.
Yes.
In one way or another. And we can fight against that. And we can also be responsible for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have actually recorded my daughter because my daughter's a lot like me. And she can be very, very unabashed in her communication and very straightforward, which I love about her. And at the same time, that sometimes causes a reaction in other people that she doesn't want. So I actually have recorded some conversations so that she can hear the difference in her tone when I'm saying, hey, you know, when you said this, how it came over to me as that you're angry about something. And sometimes my conversations with her are like that. I try to control my own response to her because I get triggered and this happens not just with my daughter, but with other men and women too, where you get a communication that it could be taken several different ways. And I've had to train myself to respond with, I'm not sure if I'm hearing this the right way, but you sounded a little bit angry in that. Was I making that up?
That was a great response, by the way. I like that.
Yeah. So that is one of those responses that I ask a lot in professional settings, in relationship settings, with friends, all of that.
I think that's actually a really great response to men, too.
If
you hear something, because women misinterpret what men say all the time. So using something like that and said, I'm hearing you say this. Is that what you meant? Will help women significantly. And you don't have to explain why you heard it that way. Please don't do that because then you dilute what you're saying. But just, I believe you're saying this is exactly what you meant. And I think you'll start to eliminate a lot of the miscommunication because it gives him the opportunity to explain himself so that you don't interpret something incorrectly. Women do that a lot. They, especially in dating, they hear him say one thing and they automatically, it means this when it meant something completely different.
Yeah. And there's two facets in terms of the communication that you and I are talking about here. One is in understanding what they're actually saying. And the other one is what they're implying or the emotion or intent behind it. So
good
you
clarification.
You can ask, depending on how it lands for you or how you're hearing it, either way. So if they're saying something, you're like, did they mean X? You could do what Jen said. And if you're not sure what the intention was behind it, the emotion was behind it, then you could use the response that I used.
Yes. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah.
That's absolutely. Okay. What else? Tell me what else.
Well, there are some different vocal qualities that are associated with trustworthiness, with credibility. And we always, at least I do, want to be perceived as trustworthy and credible in every single one of my relationships, particularly when I'm forming a relationship. Like in a romantic relationship, you know, without trust, you got nothing, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. So I've heard you say before, I totally agree. We've all got baggage. We're all going to be bringing our crap to a relationship.
Yes.
No matter what. You know, sometimes I say it's nice if you can find matching baggage. You collect the whole set.
I don't know if I agree with that, but that's fucking hilarious.
Complimentary.
Complimentary baggage. That was really good, Tina.
Yes, exactly. Oh, there's a carry-on joke in there somewhere too, as well. But I'll see if I can find it. So we can look at the tone of your voice is something we've kind of covered, but the other areas are articulation, which is the clarity of from which you speak. An articulated vocal delivery generally indicates that somebody has been thoughtful in what they're going to say, that they have some background or they have some expertise in what they're talking about, and that allows you to be perceived as more credible and therefore more trustworthy. Then we've got tempo. Tempo, I would say, is probably one of the most important things that anybody can work on in their speaking, particularly if you deal with a lot of high-stress communications. And most of us deal with high-stress communications of one kind or another on a daily basis. We just deal with it. We don't even think about them being high-stress communications. But we're busy. We may be in a rush. We might be delivering important information. We're working with clients. We're working with coworkers. First date is always, or a lot of dates are high-stress communication situations. You know, we might be nervous. So your tempo is something that is extremely important and is very, very related to the breath. And I know we've talked about this before in another episode. And tempo is where you start to allow yourself to really be yourself in communication. Not everybody has the same tempo. There is no perfect tempo. Your tempo is unique to you. I'm never going to be a slow speaker. Some people are never going to be a fast speaker, right? And so you just have to be, for you, what is natural, what is the most natural. And if you find yourself speeding up your vocal pattern because you're nervous, and you're like, that's where you bring in the breath. That's where you bring in relaxation technique in the moment. We're not talking about going to a yoga class and then coming back to a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about allowing yourself to pause in the moment to bring tempo back to your true voice.
May I ask you a question? This is for my listeners. There's something called parroting when you're having a conversation with somebody that supposedly builds trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sure.
And I've recommended it in the past, and I'm actually leaning back from that in dating, because I don't think mimicking somebody's a man's vocal pattern is necessarily, I think it's really important, like you're talking to be okay with your tempo and be true to your tempo. And the psychological premise behind it is that you are creating confidence and trust between two people, and in the dating world, because I've heard it in other places in the dating world, creating chemistry and creating attraction. I don't necessarily agree with that anymore, especially as I'm listening to more of what you're saying. But what I think, something that you can, if it feels good, I don't think you should do it if it doesn't feel good, but if you're excited of being with somebody and a man is genuinely excited, you can parrot a little bit of his excitement, not mimic it completely, but you let yourself be excited as well. How do you feel about all that?
Yeah, I mean, as human beings, we're wired with lovely mirror neurons, mm-hmm. in our gorgeous frontal lobes. And that
Sweet.
Basically...
Yours are hot, just so you know. They're
My
really
neurons
hot.
Are a huge turn on.
Oh.
I have very well-developed neurons.
Yes.
They're bulbous.
Oh. I'm getting a little verklempt here.
I feel like I have to shield them a little now
from
you.
We need
you
to get some ice packs
her,
for
her
your
gaze is,
bulbous
her
neurons.
Her gaze is kind of intense from staring at my neurons. Stop staring at my neurons.
Damn. God. Can you look at anything besides my neurons? No, I can't.
No. Oh, my God. Okay. So that allows us to feel empathy. And so the empathy response is going to be there. I mean, we can, let's face it. If we really were to claim all of our power as women, we truly could make any man fall in love with us.
Hear, hear.
We really can. And at the same time, that's not necessarily what we want. We want it to be authentic. We want to feel for them what they feel for us and have it be what would probably we would call in the circles I run in business and professional circles, a cycle of reciprocity. You're putting out energy, you're receiving it back. You're putting out energy, you're receiving it back. And it creates what I guess would be chemistry. And we've used parroting, we use paraphrasing, different techniques like that in therapeutic settings to create relationships, or in management settings to create relationships. And you can definitely use it in romantic settings as well. But it's got to feel good to you. Now, and in parroting somebody's emotional response, I think you run into some iffy things there, because what we can do as women, especially if we're tuned into our own breath and noting that we are in a high-stress situation, we can take the lead on creating less stress in the situation because they're just as nervous as we are.
Absolutely. I guess let me clarify what I meant by that. I said if it's something that interests you, I'm talking about, I know for a fact what men don't get a lot of from women is a mirror of their excitement.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm mainly referring to excitement.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think you're right. We are so powerful that we could actually, if they're in a bad space, help them very easily switch. But I also don't want us to be responsible for that
all the time. No, it's a kindness.
Yes. It's only if we genuinely are in that space that we want to. But excitement, I think, on the other hand, I think it's just as good for us. And I think men sometimes, I think we as women think that we have to be taken seriously all the time to have credibility. And I want to see more excitement in us, more playfulness, more things that men bring to the table many times easily during dating and things like that, that women don't necessarily because we don't want to come across in a certain way.
Yeah, I'm naturally a very excitable human being. So I love, as you know.
You and your bulbous neurons.
Oh, I know. They need an outlet.
There you go.
That's why. And so I hadn't even thought about excitement being an issue, but you're absolutely right. If we're trying to maintain our composure or feel dignified or want to be taken seriously, and they're really excited about something, it's going to feel to them like a big disconnect.
Our disinterest.
Our total disinterest. And then they're going to do one of two ways. Either they're going to deflate mm-hmm. or they're going to ramp up even higher.
And try to bring you up there even higher. And then it just gets insane.
Then it gets weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're creating by not allowing yourself to go to that level. You're creating another disconnect that he is, he's going so high. You're kind of setting him up to fail with you.
Yeah, completely. You know, in any conversation, I would say that the quality of the conversation is going to be completely related to the quality of your questions, not the quality of your responses.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh boy, anybody who moves in circles talking about success or
leadership
or achievements, there's so much out there about asking questions and creating relationships through being mutually interested in each other.
Yes. One of the things that we do on this and the circles I run in helping women with dating, though, is that we create more playful questions, sometimes off the wall questions, instead of the standard interrogation. So
where do you work?
Yes.
Where'd you go to school? Mm-hmm. Where'd you grow up? You know,
we switch. Those can be included, but they shouldn't be the only thing. So I agree with the quality of your questions, but I think the level of playfulness in your questions is very, very helpful. We are too damn serious as women, and I want us to stop being that serious because your love life is meant to be enjoyed. Yes, there are going to be some fucking hard times. Everybody goes through them, but if we don't learn to be playful as women and to connect in a different way, that playfulness is the fastest way to your turn on, especially over the years as things ebb and flow between the two of you. If you want to get back to your real turn on, playfulness is the path of least resistance.
I would completely agree with that.
So practice it in the dating phases.
And I also think that coming back around to some of the different vocal qualities, that helps a lot with one particular vocal quality, which is your flow of your words. And the more that you don't have to kind of reach for a word, the more a conversation tends to move forward. And the more that you don't have to reach for your words, the more that, again, you tend to be viewed as somebody who is trustworthy because you're not hedging all the time. Mm-hmm. So
how do you incorporate the pause into that? Because I think that's really important. I struggle with that.
It's the power of the pause.
The power of the pause because I reach for my words all the time.
I do too. Like right now. Thought I'd demonstrate.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah. So I'm going to pause myself for a moment and say that was a great question.
Thank you,
Jen. And that's a hedging noise that I just did. So I'm demonstrating for beautifully, I think, for you in this moment. The more that we can keep our flow going, the more that we can allow ourselves even to back up a little bit. Sometimes we feel like we're repeating ourselves a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I know for myself as a highly verbal person, like I rely, obviously, on what I do in the world and all that. I rely on my voice. So sometimes I have to give myself permission to vocally, verbally process what I've already said before I can say the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times in the past where I made myself wrong for that. And not making myself wrong for that and even saying to the other person, let me back up for a minute and re-say something I said before. Here's what I said before. And then I end up adding on to it. It's almost like I have to put it in reverse for a minute before I can go forward. That was one of the best things I ever did for myself in finding vocal flow.
Okay.
Also, again, bringing playfulness and humor to it helps so much, because when we do stumble or trip over our words and all of that, we can just be silly about it or be playful about it and not just make it a big deal or feel like it's something we have to apologize for. Everybody trips over their words.
I have something to add here, and I want to know what you think about this. One of the things that we recommend at Single Smart Female is that I tell women for first dates, even second, third dates, because we're still in that realm of nervousness for both people. We always automatically assume that men are just supposed to be confident all the time. But the truth is they get lost in your beauty. They get really nervous too. And we're sitting down to coffee all the time. We're sitting down to just having to have these flow conversations where I personally think, and I've seen it happen enough times to verify it in my own experience, in my own life, that when we actually go out on a date that's an activity date, we increase flow automatically because
yes.
we have an activity to focus on instead of actually having to focus on the flow. What do you think about that?
I think that's brilliant. And it's so much easier sometimes to have a conversation when you're walking.
Yes.
Or walking, just going for a walk is so magical, because sometimes the gaze back and forth can be so intense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, them to us to them. And it activates different parts of our brain as we're walking. It allows things to really move. It allows an outlet for any nervous energy that comes through. So even if you're not, like, I'm not an athletic person. I wouldn't consider myself that
way.
But everyone can walk. And everyone, you know, we can all come up with different activity-based things that also then allow
to transfer that energy.
Right.
And then you can practice your vocal flow instead of being hung up on it.
Yes.
Which is something that I find very, very helpful, because if we put too much emphasis on these things, then we'll get caught in that whole, I'm not doing this right. And the truth is we all need practice at it, correct?
Yeah, of course we do. Life is practice and nothing else.
That's a very good statement. We should trademark that. Life is practice and nothing else.
Tweetable.
There you go.
All right.
that's Tina's. Nobody's allowed to take that, but you all should remember it. Are there any other vocal qualities that you wanted to mention today?
The sonority is the last one. Sonority refers to the pleasantness of one's voice. And this is something that we can get really judgy on ourselves for. A lot of people don't like how they sound in recordings. They don't like the sound of their own voice. And this is an area where self-compassion becomes really, really important. Really, really important. You know, your voice is uniquely yours. No one else sounds exactly like you. And no one else has exactly the same things to say that you do. No one else has your heart and soul. So giving yourself permission to own that unique self-expression that you have as something that is simply part of you, is again, some kindness that we can bring to ourselves. We would never judge the voice of a child. We would never judge the voice. We might feel a certain way about a baby crying, but we wouldn't judge it as, you know, wrong. We might, you know, be irritated by it. I certainly was annoyed by mine. but at the same time, if you imagined that a little girl was coming up to you and speaking their truth, you know, you would never judge them for how they sounded and all of that. So sometimes I find it's really helpful to remember that I am that child. And I am that girl, and that all those parts are valuable and part of me and part of an overall whole that is, again, always practicing and nothing else. So
I love that. I want to, as we wrap all of this up today, unless we're missing a quality.
No.
I want to tie it back all into our topic today, which is how our voice affects men and influences men. We are, as Tina's mentioned, as I talk about, we are the most powerful influence on men, regardless of whether a man can fully admit that to you or not. And the more we stay silent, the more we try to be someone we're not helping anyone. You're not helping yourself, and you're certainly not helping men. When you speak up and use your voice in a way that he can hear you, and there's lots of different ways that you can experiment with that and research that. Don't get caught up in that I have to do it exactly this way. Just practice, have some fun with it. Be playful in your communication, be playful in your tone, and see what happens. Ask for what you want, but you are going to start to shift the dynamic between you and men. And as you do that, you get a space to be heard, he gets a space to be heard, and then we're all pretty fucking happy people because we're finally being heard. But don't forget, we are a man's biggest weakness and his biggest influence. And any man who doesn't give you that opportunity isn't your forever guy. He isn't the guy that's supposed to be there long term for you. Real men will listen, but be responsible for your part of it. Thank you, Lover Girl, for joining me on this Romantic Fairy Godmama edition of Single Smart Female. Don't forget to text this episode to all of your single smart girlfriends, as well as visit me at singlesmartfemale.com. I'll talk to you next time, and here's to you having everything you want in life and love. Today's show is sponsored by thecouragekit.com. Are you tired of meeting craptastic men, going on craptastic dates, and feeling craptastically inept at dating and love? Let me rework your dating experiences, single lady. Fun, pleasure, and magic included. No experience required. I'll see you at thecouragekit.com.